Father, bless these words to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 10. Starting in verse 35. The Word of God says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. For the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Cast not away your confidence. That is me apobilite. It's in the aorist active subjunctive. And it's a picture of throwing off a covering. So don't throw off the covering of your confidence. We don't usually think of it this way, but confidence is a type of covering for us. And if we lose that confidence, if we lose that covering, then we are, in that aspect of our lives, uncovered. And if I lose that covering, I can receive projections. I can receive insecurities. My flesh can go to town. And the enemy can attack me quite significantly if I lose my confidence. If I lose my confidence, I can very easily stray out of the perfect will of God for my life. If I lose my confidence, I can very easily enter into sin. Because I've lost something that was my covering. And it's in a subjunctive mood. It's aorist tense. But what I'm really interested in is active subjunctive. Active means that I'm the one producing the action, and subjunctive is a conditional mood. That means what it's saying, if I cast not away my confidence, it will have a great recompense of reward. That confidence thing is something that Satan attacks. Satan will always attack with intimidation so that I would lose my confidence. And he tries to intimidate me. Now, he doesn't try to intimidate me the way the world intimidates. For example, he doesn't always stand up in my face and say, "I'm going to do something." No, instead he's far more subtle. He intimidates me with projections of doubt and question. He intimidates me with projections of inadequacy and insecurity. He intimidates me with questions regarding God's veracity and faithfulness. He intimidates me regarding the promises of God. Are they true? Has God said? And he tries to intimidate. So when Satan intimidates, do not cast off, do not take off, do not throw off the covers from yourself. Stay under the covering of your confidence. Stay under the covering of your confidence. It will protect you. You see, you have need of patience. My confidence will bring a certain reward. What is the reward of confidence? The reward of confidence is not just my spiritual reward. The reward of confidence is the fact that the promise of God is fulfilled for my life. How does a believer walk away from the promises? How does a believer walk out of the will of God? Because it's really the same as walking away from the promises. By losing his confidence. If I as a believer lose my confidence, I will walk out of the will of God. Young people, that happens to them all the time. They lose their confidence toward God and they start pursuing some guy or some girl. Because they're not confident in God's willingness and His ability on their behalf. They're not confident that when the time is right, He will bring the person that He selects for them. Someone that was selected by God for my design. They're not confident enough to wait for people. The older people do this too. They're not confident to wait on God. They say, okay, God, it's been long enough. Where is it? Abraham did that, and he was an older man. He said, okay, God, you gave the promise, but now I don't have my confidence. I have been intimidated by time. Time is one of the biggest factors that Satan uses to intimidate us. Pastor Stephen said, never offend God with time considerations. Why? Because I have a confidence toward God, and what I am saying to God is, my timetable is not fulfilled, God. Obviously, you're not faithful. Yet my timetable is arbitrary. My timetable has no eternal sight, if you will. It has no eternal frame of reference. But in God's time, there is an eternal frame of reference with a precise knowledge of the things that are and things that have been and the things that will be. You see, I don't know what the result is. I don't know what the result is of today or tomorrow. I don't know what will happen if God fulfills the promise today or if He fulfills it tomorrow. Is there a difference? Absolutely there is. How do I know there is a difference? Because in Habakkuk in chapter 2 and verse 3, the Word of God said the vision is for an appointed time. It is not for a time not appointed. It is only for an appointed time. So He says, wait for it. But I will not wait for it if I have been intimidated by time. And Satan would love that, because they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. So they that are intimidated by time are in a very weakened condition. Wait for it, he said in Habakkuk. Wait for it. Why? Because though it tarry, it will surely come. And then when it comes, it will not tarry. In other words, when it happens, it will happen quickly. And it will speak and not lie. In other words, God is true to the details and the precision of His promises. And when the time comes, if I am confident towards God's promises, when the time comes, the promise comes exactly as God said it would come. It doesn't matter what the promise is, all promises of God are yea and amen. Every promise of God was given by inspiration, because it's part of His Word. Every rhema that the Holy Spirit gives to my heart, although not part of the Logos, is part of His divine revelation to my heart as a beloved in my meditations with Him. And so I wait on God's promises. I wait with confidence, because if I do not have that confidence, I am uncovered in the spiritual warfare regarding my life. You see, what is our call really? Our call is a series of promises. And we wait, we receive a promise, we receive a calling. A calling is a type of a promise. We receive a promise and we wait on it. And then God fulfills the promise, and then we receive another promise and we wait on it. And we go and we get our direction according to the promises of God. We don't order our steps at all. God orders our steps. But we face in the right direction because of the promises of God. For example, I knew that I was called to be a pastor, and so I knew that I needed to face in the direction of the Word of God. I knew that as a believer anyway, but now I had to get a little bit more precise and a little bit more specific. I had to go to Bible college. Because I knew very well that ill-prepared pastors are not pastors that are well-prepared. They're not pastors who are equipped. Now, certainly there may be sovereign situations, particularly in certain parts of the world where preparation in a Bible college is not a possibility. And God covers those kinds of people. But I was not in a part of the world where a preparation in a Bible college was not a possibility. I was in a part of the world where the best Bible college around was down the street. And I have no qualms about saying that one. Show me the fruit and I'll show you my fruit. The fruit of our school. Like, we can examine fruit. Show me anybody's fruit. I'll show you the fruit our Bible college has. Pastors, missionaries, Christian servants all over the world planting churches and Bible colleges, raising up children to the glory of God to be pastors, missionaries, Christian servants all over the world. You show me a place like that. I'm not saying we're the only ones. I'm saying we're a darn good one. We have the best I know of. I make no qualms. I have no problem saying that. If somebody on the internet doesn't like it, ha, jealous. Hey, we don't cast away our promises and we don't cast away our confidence. And Satan would like me to cast away my confidence, so I'll cast away my promises. Can't do that. Can't do that. In boldness and in confidence, I stand in the promises of God with a full expectation and a confident assurance of their fulfillment. And though I may not know the time, I know the promise. Abraham did not know the time, but he knew the promise. Mary could figure out the time, but she knew the promise. The promises of God do not lie. They don't lie. And so I can be purely and completely confident. And I don't have to cast it away. And if I suffer within the promise, then I know that my suffering is for the glory of God and for my own sake. I know that I am in a great cloud of witnesses, surrounded by them, in an arena that I cannot see, but that is real nevertheless. And they are watching my life, and God is using us as spectacles for them. Hey, did you know that some of the things you go through are not for yourself and are not for anyone else on earth, but are for the great cloud of witnesses? They are there to be a testimony unto the angelic host and unto the believers who've gone before us. That is some of the trials we go through. Job's trials were like that. Job's trials were not for anything for men. Some trials are for my benefit. Some trials are for the benefit of others. Some trials are simply for the glory of God. Job's trials were for the benefit of the angels. Never cast your promises away. Never cast your confidence away in a trial. And you may say to yourself, nobody sees. Oh, then stop walking by sight and then you'll see something that is invisible. You'll see the grandstands and you'll see the millions of angels watching and you'll see the millions of believers before us because I am a part of their full reward. And they are watching very diligently and very intently and the angels are learning about the grace of God in my life because they cannot receive grace. And so even though I may suffer in a very quiet and private place where nobody sees, and even though maybe I do not see any release or any purpose, I am being watched by millions of angels who are learning about the character and the grace of God out of my life. Do you think that is useless? Do you think that is of no purpose and no meaning for eternity that millions of the servants of God should learn about God's grace? When they cannot experience it for themselves? You've been given a privilege. You are the teacher of angels. And you don't even know it. You simply have a life that is intimate with God, and you become the teacher of angels. These beings who have been created somewhere in eternity past, who are much wiser, much more powerful, much more capable than I am, but they are not capable of being the recipients of grace. And so they have to learn from me. The greatest government ever instilled in eternity, and they learn about it from us. Do not disdain being the teacher of angels. They are your servants. You are a teacher to them in some aspects. Teach them well, because then they can serve well. What does that mean? If I don't teach them, they won't serve well? Well, they learn about grace from us. So I suppose if you want your angel to understand grace, teach them well. You are a recipient of a high and heavenly calling. Don't cast your confidence away from the calling. Don't try to figure out your calling by sight, and don't ask God to have it make sense. How in the world can it possibly make sense when His mind is so far beyond mine? Yeah, we believers are so stubborn, we want to understand every little detail. And God says, you do not have the ability to comprehend even the simplest of details that are in His mind. So don't ask, just receive. And be confident, because He loves you. And He is for you. And every promise is yea and amen. And He will come through. And faithful is He who's called you, who will also do it. Be confident in God's character towards you. Be confident in the fact that you are in fact worthy to Him, because He does, really actually does. Can you believe it? He really actually does love you. So be confident. And don't let Satan intimidate. Satan would love to intimidate you right out of the promises of God. Because nobody can take you out of God's will but you. Satan cannot make you do anything. Oh, he can project, he can deceive, but he cannot make up your mind. Nobody can make you do anything. So what do? You keep a confident expectation toward God and toward what He has said and towards His character for you and toward the fact that the end of it is better than the beginning, even if you are in the trial, even if you don't see your way out, even if you do have 500 million things on your plate, God is still faithful. He has not gone. Don't lose your confidence. Don't be intimidated by the details of your life. God is still faithful. How many believers get intimidated by the details of their lives? How many believers get intimidated by what people say or what people do or what circumstances at work are or what circumstances at work aren't? What happens at school? What happens in relationships and families? What happens all the time? How many parents are intimidated by their decisions of their children? Intimidated right out of a confidence and a quietness and an expectation and a peace that passes understanding. Don't let Satan intimidate you. You've got promises. And God cannot lie. Hey, God cannot lie. Every word of this Bible is inspired. Every word is God breathed. In 2 Timothy 3:16, God cannot lie. If He said it, He'll do it. Be confident. Don't throw off your covering of confidence, because then you are open to the enemy to listen to his lies. Be confident. Hey, you think you can't hear from God? What do you think, God can't speak? God will speak when God wants to speak. How many people say, God, tell me? And then they start hearing everything. If I ask you to say something, I don't have to really work hard to hear it. If I ask you a question and you give me an answer, I don't have to say, what did he say? Was that your answer or wasn't it your answer? No, it's pretty clear when the answer comes. When God speaks, I know He said it. Why do I know He said it? Because He speaks clearly. He doesn't mumble. He doesn't whisper. He may have a still small voice, but that still small voice is like the sound of a cannon. A quiet cannon in the back of my mind. No, really, in my heart. A quiet cannon in the heart of a man that says to him, God has said. God has said. And so it shall be. And don't cast away your confidence toward God. But what if I make a mistake? What if you do? Do you think God cannot say, hello, over here? Do you think He is mute? Do you think He is deaf that He cannot hear your cries? Do you think He is callous that He doesn't care? No. I say, God. He says, yeah. He said, help me. He said, okay. Here I come. How many believers think that God is callous toward their needs? He's not callous. He's God. Men are callous. God is kind. You have a need? Be confident. You have a trial? Be confident. You have a problem? Be confident. You have an issue? Be confident. You have kids? Be confident anyway. Be confident in God. How can we believers be that way, that we're not confident in God? Are we really believers then if we are not confident in God? I mean, we're saved, but are we believers if we're not confident in God? How can I be anything other than confident? How can I let Satan intimidate? Eve let Satan intimidate. Right? Genesis chapter 1. Has God said? Ah! Yes, He did say. Hath God said? Intimidation. Hath God... Eve, you, God's trying to hold something back from you. Ah! Isn't that how we are? Circumstance. Ah! Never! Lose confidence. Woke some people up. Never lose confidence toward God. Never let that little sucker gonna fry in hell like a pancake take away your boldness, take away your... Never let that little pinhead intimidate you. And he is a pinhead. He's stupid. He may be great in intelligence, but he is the dumbest being ever created in all of eternity. He is the dumbest sucker that ever was. He was number two in heaven, face to face with God, and he blew it. With a God who is love. What kind of a pinhead do you gotta be to do that? Don't let that little pinhead intimidate you. He's a crushed head fool. I don't care what kind of a brilliance and what kind of intelligence he may have, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You ever hear that saying? Yeah, who you go take you? Yeah, you and whose army? Well, me and about 750 million angels. One of which could wipe out 185,000 men in one night. What you got? You got the Russians, the Chinese, pittance, piddly, little bunch of dust. You got 100 million dust bunnies. God can vacuum that house out in no time. God just takes his little fingers. That's the end of that one. Don't let that little sucker intimidate you. He's a sucker. He fell for his own emotions. Go figure, he fell for his own emotions. He's a sucker. Like, I mean, we may not be all that in a bag of chips. We may be weak, we may be fragile, we may be fallen, but we know when it's our emotions talking. He didn't even know that. He's a pinhead. Little jerk. He's a little jerk. People are afraid to get a little bit. That's not even what God said about him. I called him a serpent. Where are we? Cast not away your confidence. Cast not away your confidence. For this is the will of God. Right? I mean, it's confidence in God that keeps me in the will of God. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. And then in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So I am sanctified unto God's operation. And in this is my confidence, that God is operational in my life. That God's promises are functional. They are alive, they function, they work, they are dynamic, and they are real. And in this I am very confident. That I don't care what the world does, I don't care what Satan does, I don't care what people do, it does not make any difference at all. Hath God said, and shall he not do it? Every promise of God is yea and amen, and God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of a man that he should repent. He doesn't change his mind halfway through the ball game. He may do things I can't figure out, but that's only because he's a whole lot smarter than I. I can't do calculus either. Well, a little bit, but not a whole lot. If I can't figure out calculus, how in the world am I going to figure out God? Can you figure out calculus? Oh, you're different. You know what he does? He does to us exactly what he did to Israel when the Assyrians were facing off with Hezekiah. Right? In 2 Kings 18, in verse 29, thus, I'm German, thus saith the king. Thus saith the king. Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and give me something, and come out to me, And then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one of the waters of his cistern. That was intimidation. That is exactly what Satan says to the believer. God won't come through for you, but I'll tell you something. Give me a little bit and then you'll be happy. Give me a little bit and then your emotions are gonna be fine. Give me a little bit and then the pressure is off. Give me a little bit and then you're gonna get whatever it is that you want, even though it's settling, at least you're gonna settle reasonably well. Well, I've got news for you. My Bible says that Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. And when he lies, he speaks according to his own nature. So he cannot do anything other than lie. So he tries to intimidate me to give away that which is from God. He tries to intimidate me to give away my confidence, to throw off my covering and give up on God's promises. No stinking way. No way. Eve should have said, get out of here. She should have said exactly what Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. I'm not giving up the Word of God. I'm not giving up the promises of God. I'm not giving up the character of God. I'm not giving up the faithfulness of God. I'm not going to give up the hope that I have in my God and His will for my life. I'm not giving it up. Because I'm confident in His ability toward me. I'm confident in His character toward me, and I'm confident in His Word about me. I'm not going to be intimidated by some little pinhead. In 2 Chronicles 32:15, we have the same episode where it says, now therefore, let not Hezekiah deceive you. He said, the Hezekiah, the king, the man of God, is deceiving you. God cannot be trusted. He's deceiving you. Nor persuade you in this matter, neither believe him. Don't believe the man of God. For no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of mine hand. Don't you realize that this natural thing cannot be overcome by a god? No god, no other god. You know what? Those other gods are all imitation, but this one God is real. The God of Hezekiah was the real God. He was God. He was the real deal. He wasn't some little fish-headed fool. He's the real deal. He's the one who created the universe, who stretched out the sky, who placed the stars in their orbits and established the foundation of the earth. He's the one who created us just by speaking the word. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth, the angels and all that there is. He made it. He is the real deal. You know why the world can't overcome the world? How does the ocean overcome the sea? It's all the same. It's all the same. For no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of my hand and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of my hand? How much less? How much less? Like he can't even match what the world does. Isn't this the lie? God can't even give you as good as the world can. You know what happened after that? It didn't turn out the way the Assyrian king so boldly and arrogantly and foolishly proclaimed in his unbelief. In Isaiah 36:21, the people responded like this. But they held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. When Satan attacks me and tries to intimidate me, I don't answer him. I don't engage him in a conversation. And I don't try to persuade him. When Satan comes in and does that foolishness, I just stand confident in the ability of my God. You see, the end result was this. In 2 Chronicles 32:21, and the Lord sent an angel. Uh-oh, here it comes. Not an angel. You know what? You got one and maybe two. At least. And the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and the captains of the camp of the king of Assyria. You know how many men that was? 185,000 men. That was a big army by today's standards. One angel. And the Lord sent him. So he returned with shame of face to his own land, the king of Assyria. Shame of face to his own land. And get this. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth out of his own bowels slew him with the sword. That has an application. It's talking about his sons, but that has an application, that which comes out of my emotions. When I'm not trusting God, when I'm trusting the natural, not trusting God, my own emotions slay me. And the Word of God becomes their weapon. My own emotions can slay me, and the Word of God becomes their weapon. Why? Wrong thinking, wrong orientation, wrong ability. I have a sword and I can't even point it in the right direction. Isn't that what my emotions do to me? I have a sword and I can't even point it in the right direction. And so what do? I stab myself with it. Poke myself in the eye with it. I do. I poke my own perceptions. Can't get any victory that way. Well, how do I overcome? How do I do this? How do I receive these promises that I'm so bold about? Like, okay, now how do I enter into a promise of God? How do I enter into a call of God? How do I enter into the will of God? Hey, don't you get it? The promises, the call, and the will are all the same thing. There is no difference between them. Abraham was called to be the father of the faith, but it came through a promise. The promises, the will, and the call are all the same thing. So if you're not going to trust the promises, you're not going to trust the call or the will. And you can't separate them because God is not separable. How do I enter into this? Isaiah 30:15. For thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Now he's talking to Israel here, who is backsliding. And get this. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. How often do believers enter this place? God says, be confident and be quiet. Be still and be confident and be assured. But they would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall you flee. And we will ride upon the swift. Therefore, shall they that pursue you be swift. You see, we say we're going to figure it out our own way. We're not just going to wait on God. We're going to figure out how to make it happen. And if it doesn't happen in our time, we're going to do something about it. Young people, if the relationship doesn't come in your timing, realize something. Your timing is arbitrary. But how many young people say, oh, God didn't come through in my timing, and so I'm going to pursue. And so you'll be pursued. But it's not going to be God that's pursuing you at this point. It's going to be the bondage of mistakes. Be careful about that, young folk. Wait on God for all things. God a promise, even if you're older. Young, old, doesn't matter. God a promise. Wait on God. Because the vision does not lie. It is simply for an appointed time. And it's not of your appointing. It's of His. So wait on God. And continuing in verse 17, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. It's that intimidation or what? At the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign on a hill. And therefore will the Lord wait. Now get this. You tripped and fall on your face because you didn't trust the promises of God. Get this. And therefore will the Lord wait, that He may be gracious unto you. And therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. And judgment always speaks of the finished work. Blessed are all they that wait upon the Lord. Don't try to put it in your hand. Don't try to put it in your own hand. Leave it in God's. Don't try to take it out of His hands. Don't try to hold the promise. Just receive it in its time. Don't try to manipulate the promise. Don't try to run from the promise. Don't try to force the promise. And don't try to hide from it. Just leave it to its own time. Because when the time comes, the promise is fulfilled. You know how I run out of a promise? I'm not confident toward God. And then the promise can't be fulfilled. Then I end up like Israel that did not enter into the promise. But even this, folks, will not stop Him. Because even though I am not faithful, He abides faithful. Even if I am in unbelief, He will still abide faithful. His promises are still yea and amen. And this is what He will do. He will wait. You see, it was only for a season that Israel had it prolonged. But after that season was over, they still entered in. Oh, they could have entered in earlier, but it didn't matter. The only thing they did was postpone it. They did not prevent it. And so wait, that He may be gracious unto you. And therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment, and blessed are all they that wait for Him. I won't wait if I'm not confident. Oh, I may produce a few Ishmaels along the way. And Satan will try to intimidate you for sure. But what did David say when Satan tried to intimidate him. And all the Israeli army was intimidated. What did David say? This little uncircumcised Philistine is nothing for my God. He's just a big pinhead. I'm paraphrasing.
The New People's Translation.
He's just a pinhead. He's nothing. I don't care if he's big, he's nothing. I don't care if he scares the armies of Israel, he's nothing. I know who God is, and this little sucker is nothing. I know who God is. He had confidence he would not be intimidated. And God took care of the Philistine. You think David was that good a shot? God just took care of the Philistine. Korah in number 16 comes up against Moses. Hey, Moses, we don't think you're all that. Why are you taking all this on yourself? We hear from God just as well as anybody else does. What you doing, Moses? You think you're all that in a bag of chips? And Moses said, okay, let's take a look. Tomorrow God will decide. He didn't do it in presumption. He got on his face and prayed first. He said, okay, fine. Tomorrow we'll decide. Since you don't think it's good enough to be servants of God. Since you want more than your calling. And tomorrow God... And they didn't go alone either. They took 250 of the chief princes of Israel. Tried to intimidate him with numbers. Do you think God's intimidated with numbers?
You and whose army?
Well, if you must know, the army of heaven that scared off the Egyptian army in 1969 as the angels were hovering above the Israeli tanks in the Sinai Desert, that's whose army? Since you ask. No, never lose your confidence. Never lose your confidence. Never. Never lose your confidence. Satan will try to intimidate you out of the promises of God. Never lose your confidence. God is faithful. We lose our confidence because of time. We lose our confidence because of sight. We lose our confidence because we can't reason it out in our natural abilities. We lose our confidence, get this, we lose our confidence because of lust patterns. Right? Isn't that what people, men do this, like, I want more money. I don't trust God just to take care of what I have. I want more money, a bigger house, better car, I want more. Never lose your confidence. Never lose your confidence. Never lose your confidence. Never lose your confidence. Don't let that little wimp intimidate. Never lose your... He was so stupid, he didn't even believe the character of the God that he served in eternity past, seeing him face to face. Never lose your confidence. God is more than able. And you'll be more than a conqueror. And you'll be more than victorious. Because you already are. See, Eve already had it going on with God. But she got intimidated. And through the intimidation, she lost what she had. Don't lose your confidence. Don't be intimidated. It is your covering. Don't be intimidated, never lose your confidence, and stand firm in the promises of God. Amen.